would please open your Bibles at Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, we will start reading at verse 10. This is the word of God. These are the records of the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and became the father of Arpakshad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived 500 years after he became the father of Arpakshad. And he had other sons and daughters. Now Arpakshad lived 35 years and became the father of Shelah. Now Arpakshad lived 403 years after he became the father of Shelah, and he had other sons and daughters. And Shelah lived 30 years and became the father of Eber. And Shelah lived 403 years after he became the father of Eber, and he had other sons and daughters. And Eber lived 34 years and became the father of Peleg. And Eber lived 430 years after he became the father of Peleg, and he had other sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and became the father of Reu. And Peleg lived 209 years after he became the father of Reu, and he had other sons and daughters. And Reu lived 32 years and became the father of Serug. And Reu lived 207 years after he became the father of Serug, and he had other sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and became the father of Nahor. And Serug lived 200 years after he became the father of Nahor, and he had other sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and became the father of Terah. And Nahor lived 119 years after he became the father of Terah, and he had other sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and became the father of Abram and Nahor and Haran. Now these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. And Sarah was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So far our scripture reading, you may be seated. Brothers and sisters, now Lord Jesus Christ, Lord willing, we will finish with chapter 11 today. These first 11 chapters of the Bible are of extreme importance for the Christian even today. That is also why we have spent more than a year on the first 11 chapters of this book. It's very important. We learn here that God created everything. He is the sovereign God, and He sovereignly rules over everything. We saw in chapters 1 and 2 how God created man according to His own image and gave him the command to rule over His creation. God instituted marriage and the family. Then we saw how man fell into sin in chapter 3, but God made a promise that He would send the Redeemer to save man. You would remember the dramatic action God took there by slaughtering an animal and covering up their nakedness. God also ordained enmity between His followers and the followers of Satan. And then in chapters 4 through 9, we saw how the followers of Satan and the followers of God separated. And God revealed His wrath on the sin of man by wiping out mankind, except for Noah and his family. He preserved some so that promise that He made of the Redeemer that would come, that He would still fulfill that promise. And then in chapter 10 and 11, we saw how the children of Noah rebelled against God by building this Tower of Babel. And we saw how God judged that rebellion while He at the same time kept His promise again by keeping some with Him so that the Redeemer would come to bring salvation. And so you see the first 11 chapters of the Bible, the first 11 chapters of Genesis are essential for us today as Christians. This is where we learn how to understand man. This is how we learn how to understand God and how God acts. Without these chapters, we cannot understand man, and we cannot understand the actions of God in our world even today. That brings us to this last portion of chapter 11. Here we see the genealogy of Father Abram, and therefore also partly the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You would remember from chapter 9, verse 26, that God blessed Shem and his descendants, and in Shem, God said that He blessed the Semitic people. All the Semitic people are blessed through him. And that blessing still remained even after this rebellion at Babel. So Moses here starts with the genealogy of Shem and how that leads us to Abram. You see the 10 generations that are stretching from Shem to Abram. Now, if you look back to chapter 5, there we find the first 10 generations from Adam to Noah. So this passage is following on chapter 5. That genealogy you find there in chapter 5 is now continuing here in chapter 11. And together you have 20 generations from Adam to Abram. You will notice this passage. You will see here an ever-shrinking lifespan of the people's lives. They died earlier and earlier and earlier. And the Son of Man was clearly the cause of the shortening of man's lifespan. Now they start to die younger. However, while the people had shorter lives, there's a certain display of hope in this genealogy here. If you go back to the genealogy back in chapter 5, you would see each paragraph ends with the words, "and he died." All of them, "and they died." Now, of course, the people here in chapter 11 died too. But the text doesn't focus on it. The text is not focused on how they died. There's an anticipated hope in this new era that is coming. The line of Seth in chapter 5 was moving towards God's wrath and the flood. But the line of Shem is moving towards God's grace, as we will see very clearly in this covenant that God makes with Abram. So these two genealogies also help us date certain events. History tells us that the birth of Abram took place in 2166 before Christ. And therefore Noah's flood must have been around 2,349 years before Christ. And therefore the original creation of the earth must have been 4,000 years before Christ. You see, the Bible tells us a complete different story than what society is telling us today. What the scientists, the most scientists tell us, they would say that Earth is about 13.8 billion years old. None of them say, but this is just a theory. While we have the dates from him who was there. God was there at the creation. And so, very clearly, we live in a young earth. God tells us it's not billions of years, but approximately 6,000 years ago, he created earth, as we see it. We see in our passage, Terah was the father of Abram. Terah and his family were godless people. They were idol worshippers. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Look there at verse 1. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abram and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abram from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac." They worshipped other gods. This was a godless family. God gives us the name of the two brothers, Abram and Nahor. Abram married a wife, Sarai, and Nahor married Milcah. Let me just say a few short words about these wives. Abram, if you go back to Genesis chapter 20, we see there Abram married his half-sister. Look at verse 12, Genesis 20, verse 12. "Besides, she actually is my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this is the kindness which you will show to me everywhere we go. Say of me, he is my brother. She was a beautiful woman. And he was scared of what the pagans would do to him to get his wife. And so here he tells us his wife was his father's child from another woman. Abram married his half-sister. And you read of Nahor, he married his niece. Married his niece. He wondered, what kind of family is this? And we just read in Joshua 24, these were idolaters. They were worshiping idols. And so Joshua writes this to remind Israel of where Israel is coming from. Surely, they came from a godless family. And when we look at where they lived, where they were from, we get a very good indication of what idols they were worshiping. Ur was the worship center of the moon god called Sin. There was a great temple that they built for this moon god, Sin. They left Ur for Haran, and this city, Haran, was another important city for the same moon god, Sin. So they moved from one center to the other and most likely continued to worship this moon god. But you do not only see the idolatry in what kind of idols they probably worshipped in those where they lived, you see it also by the names of their wives. Sarai means princess, and most probably came from the name of the female companion of the moon god, Sheratu. Milcah means queen and came from the name Milcatu, which was the title of the moon god's daughter. So you see, this family was deep into the worship of this moon god. This whole family was involved. They even married in the same cult, in the same idol worship. And Abram was no different. Abram worshipped idols with his whole family. Terah's little inbred little family were all moon worshippers. Even their names came from that cult of moon worshiping. Abram clearly was not picked by God because he was such a wonderful man. He did not become the father of believers because he was such a godly man. Now, Abram was saved the same way that you and I are saved. All of us, including Abram, were saved by God's sovereign grace alone, simply because he decided to save you. Abram was a rebellious idolater, but God called him from that sinful life to become his child. I briefly mentioned earlier that they moved from Ur to Haran. Now, if you look at verse 31, let's just read verse 31. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. Nothing is explained here in our text, but there is much more to be said about it. If you look at the first three verses of chapter 12, you see God calling Abram, and there, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from my country and from my relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so on. All those promises, God calls him. And so when you read this text, it seems like that Abram's father took them to Haran, and then God called Abram. But that's not correct. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Look there at verse 2. This is Peter speaking here, and he said, hear me, brethren and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abram when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. And he said to him, depart from your country. What does Stephen say? He says, no, God appeared to Abram when he was still in Ur, in Mesopotamia. He said, you need to leave. So what we see in Genesis is most probably the second calling, because they didn't go all the way. They stopped at Haran. And so these verses explain that when Terah decided to go with his son, he most probably left Ur because Abram received that call. And it seems that when God spoke to Abram, Terah was influenced by his son. And he took his grandson and the rest of the family that we read about there, and they started this journey. So they took their camels, they packed the suitcases, and there they were on their way to where God will show them where to go. So God called them to leave Ur. They had to make a clean break from their idolatry. God had a wonderful future blessing for them in mind. God already told Abram of what these blessings will be. Is that not the same when God calls you and I? God does not only call us unto Him, but He calls us away from our old ways. We need to leave behind those old sins and those old habits of sin. And we need to follow Him. And so when we follow God, we need to leave behind the pagan habits that we had in the past and fully engulf ourselves in worshiping God and following Him and being obedient to Him. See, we cannot live in Ur and Canaan at the same time. Yet often, that is what so many Christians try to do. They come to Christ. Christ called them to faith, and yet they try to keep this one foot in the old life, in the old ways, and still try to harbor those old sins. We want to follow Jesus while we do not completely give up the old life. My brother and sister, the life of a person who follow the Lord Jesus Christ is a life of repentance. It's a life that daily repent of your sins and turning to Christ. Daily we lay aside the old life and we become more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And we learn to hate the things that God hates and to love the things that our God loves. So let us leave Ur and wholeheartedly move to Canaan. See, that's what Terah and Abram didn't do. They left Ur, but then they stopped at Haran. Like many nominal believers who say they came to Christ and will follow him but turn back to their old pagan ways, so Terah did not follow through with this calling that Abram received. It looks like while Abram was the one who was called by God, he still had high respect for his father, and his father was the one taking the leadership with this journey. He followed his father. Terah was leading this journey. And this is why Terah is the one that decided to stay at Haran, as we see here in verse 31. And what is significant is they didn't just have a sleepover, but they settled there. They settled at this main center of moon worship. So most probably they were still worshiping this moon god while they were in Haran. Matthew Henry said this is how many people pass through the church. They come to the church, but they never fully embrace Christ. And he says, therefore, they're never saved. He said, and I quote him, many reach to Haran and yet fall short of Canaan. They are not far from the kingdom of God, and yet they never come there. They're not far from the kingdom of God, but they never get there. And so, my brother and sister, if you are physically at Grace Reformed Presbyterian Church, but spiritually you are still at Haran, pray and acknowledge your inability to follow God. Acknowledge before Him. Repent that you still are at Haran. Acknowledge before the Lord that you have simply changed scenery. Just a different place. But you're still not surrendering everything to Him. You are still running after the sins of old. Confess before the Lord your depraved heart that you refuse to fully surrender. Confess that you would not fully embrace Him and follow Him, and pray that He will change your depraved heart. Ask for a heart transplant. Or ask that the Lord will rip out your old heart of stone and replace it with heart of flesh. And fully surrender to Him. Because our salvation does not come from us because we're so strong, but it is wholly a work of God's sovereign grace. Therefore, go to Jesus with your unregenerated heart. He is the one that could move you from Haran to Canaan. We see in verse 32, Terah died at the age of 205. Now remember, as we have seen, Abram was called by God a long time ago before they left. Patiently, he was waiting at Haran to complete this journey. He was waiting till either his father is ready to go or his father pass away. And now, at the age of 75, his father passed away. And he was learning to walk by faith. Now he learned to follow the Lord. Why is all this information so important to us today? It's important because we see how God sovereignly, by His sovereign grace, visited Abram in the darkest hours of his life. Abram was a pagan. An idol worshiper. He did fairly well as a pagan in that pagan society, and And his family was settled in. They were doing well. God called Abram not because he was a good man. God called Abram as an idolater. God called a man deeply rooted in paganism. Yet God called him in his sovereign grace. You see, we do not need to become perfect. We do not need to become sinless or a better man or a good man before we can become a Christian. There was no hope of salvation for Abram in his corruption of sin, but graciously and lovingly God called him unto himself. My brother and sister, there is no hope of salvation of any one of us unless God graciously calls us out of Ur. Salvation comes only by God's sovereign grace. And it is by grace alone that we are saved. But we also see that anyone can be called. Doesn't matter how bad you are. So often we think about a neighbor or a family member who is just a horrific person. And we think, oh, what good would it do to present the gospel to him? He's just way too bad. How can he be saved? And we see here, doesn't that matter who you are? Doesn't matter how deeply you are rooted in your sinful ways, God can call you. And so let us be encouraged to bring that gospel of grace, the gospel of salvation, to everyone. Doesn't matter how bad he is, even in our eyes. The question is, when you hear God's word, when you hear God's call, do you act upon it, or do you continue in your slumber? Abram was the only one in that society that heard God's word and acted upon it. When he heard that word, he acted. He left everything behind. He risked everything simply because God spoke. Is that what you do when you hear God's word? When you hear God's word proclaimed to you from the pulpit, or when you read the Bible, when your neighbors speak to you, when your parents speak with you about the gospel, do you act? And sometimes we act knowing that it's going to hurt. And to some people, that's what keeps them from acting. When God speaks, when he calls you, you know that there's things that you will have to leave behind. It may be friends that you do not want to or would not want to associate anymore with anymore. It may be family. It may be things that you cherish so much. It will mean that you will start trusting him instead of yourself. Do you do that? Do you follow him? Do you act upon his word? You take that step of faith? My brother and sister, you're hearing his call right now. Are you acting upon it? Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to turn with me, well, it's going to be a short quote. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Assurance of things hoped for in the future, the conviction of things that you haven't seen. In other words, although you cannot see it, you have a visual certainty. Simply because God speaks about things of the future, knowing who is speaking, who it is coming from, you're convicted and you can see it, although it's not to be seen. It's in the future. But it gives you visual certainty. Because of that conviction, because of that certainty of that which is coming, you act. You act. And so the question is, do you too take the Creator, Holy, Almighty God in heaven at His word, or do you call Him a liar? You take Him at His word, believe it, or do you say, this is not true? See, that's what faith is. It takes God at His word. We act because even though we cannot see it in the future, we're convicted because it is as clear as daylight. The future is clear through God's promises. Faith makes a man take all his stuff, put all his stuff on a camel, and leave his country and go where God tells him to go. Simply because God promised Abram, he viewed that which God promised as already present. For he had no doubt that it will take place. So he immediately obeyed God. Abram's obedience was evidence of his inward faith. Again, well, this time, turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith. Speaking of the champions of faith. Look there at verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abram, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place where he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. See, Hebrews speaks of Abram hearing, believing, and acting. He acted upon his faith. His faith turned into actions. See, that's what Jesus means when he said in Matthew chapter 7, when he speaks about the fruit, he speaks of how our faith will show in how we live, in the fruit we bear. In verse 16 through 20, he says, you will know them by their fruit. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. You and I, brother and sister, are known by the fruit we bear. Our actions, our speech, our life shows what is in our hearts. What does your life show? What does it show is in your heart? You see, faith steps out and it takes action. You cannot separate faith from obedience. They go together. And we should not see ourselves as having saving faith if we continue to disobey God without repentance and deeply sorrow for our sins. May each one of us who sit under the sounding of God's word hear it. May we not only hear it, but may we believe the word of God simply because that's what God says. Whether we read the Bible, whether you hear hear the sermon, whether you hear it on the radio, pick up a track and read it. It's God speaking. Hear it, believe it, act upon it. And may those promises that He makes to you and to me become so clear as if it has already happened. It is truth. May we not only believe every word that comes from God's word, but may we act upon it and live obedient lives before Him. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank You for Bible characters that You have put before us, like Abram, a man of faith, a man that did not only hear, but Lord, believed and act upon it. And so we pray, Lord, as we hear, that each one of us will not only hear, but believe and act upon it. We pray that You will call unto Yourself those who do not put their trust and faith in You. And Lord, that we will even see in our day how many of our unbelieving family members and loved ones, neighbors, and co-workers will come unto You, Lord, and follow Jesus as their Lord. It is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.